Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hey, Dennis. I am Hailey Mary.
And
Johnny, it's your turn.
I'm Johnny Took from DMAs.
And that was so Johnny, by the way. Wait a minute. What am I on? Hang on a second. The thing is, the reason I wanted to bring the two of you together is because it's kind of unique, you know, what the two of you are making both separately and together.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think maybe it's a little bit because, you know, as I start my solo stuff, which is obviously what Johnny's helping me out with, there's a little bit of a kind of, he's more of a silent partner in it. He's not in the actual band or the act officially, obviously, because he's too busy with DMAs. So there's a little bit of, you know, trying not to rest upon him too much for, to do that stuff. But it is good to talk about the process because he's a big part of it. So
yeah.
I'm kind of glad you asked.
Well, I like to try doing things that other people wouldn't dare to do.
Well, I like the fact we're talking as well, even from you showing those photos of how we'd both previously met you and kind of before Hailey and I really knew each other.
We have to kind of drip here for a second, or maybe for a while. The thing that the two of you have in common is you really give a you-know-what about songs, real songs. Neither of you are making like thrash rock or pop. You're both doing things, and that's what's combined here, that really, it's so old school in a way. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Would you agree with me?
You know, Johnny and I were just talking about this morning. I think I was getting a little bit down, actually, because sometimes I feel like maybe things aren't about songs anymore in the music industry. And not to say that they're not at all, but like, there's like these two conflicting truths in the world, like with lots of things. And one is that like, it's all about the song, you know, and that's all you need is a good song. And then the other one is that it's nothing to do with the song. And it's all about the story around it or the image or the...
And the promo or the and the PR or the, and all the
yeah,
crap.
And all the yeah. things that are thrown at it. And I was kind of sitting there going like, you know, simultaneously these things are both true. Like, it's still all about the song, and then it's not at all about the song. And it can be difficult to know how to balance it. But I think you're right in picking up that about both of us is that we are old school in that way. I've tried to go down that kind of pop route, Dennis. You know, when you go from like being a female singer in a band of moderate levels of success and then you go solo, the expectation is that you'll go more pop. And it just didn't work. It was just like, I realized that while I don't mind adoring heaps of pop artists from the ages, and some of them are just singers, you know, it's not even necessarily their songs. I realized that like when it's just not, when I don't like the lyrics, I can't sing them. And when they're not really authentic to me, I can't convincingly do it as me. Maybe I could do it if I was doing some act that was that, you know, but as putting my name on it, it kind of had to be more personal. And then I also discovered that the kind of slick production that was on trend and trying to chase those trends, because that is sort of the focus grouped kind of mechanism by which some pop is written these days, you know, a bit of a kind of factory line of producers and what's on trend right now on the algorithms and that kind of thing. It's like, I'm not actually a good enough singer to do that or that style of singer. It doesn't suit me. Old school songs sort of suit me and having a wall of sound. And so it's kind of just what suits you. And maybe if I could have got away with the pop thing, I would, but I think I'd feel even emptier than I already do.
Oh, it's Johnny, empathy, please. Come on, let's get the empathy card going.
Well, I think that you just haven't been teed up with the right producer yet. And I know there's even... No, seriously, because there's your voice sounds great in lots of pop music, I think. And it's kind of like what we were talking about this morning. And even like in, I know it's not completely pop, but in vibes of like that song that we wrote together, The Narcissist and stuff like that, like if you clean that up a bit and whatnot, you know, I think your voice could really suit, you know, certain facets of pop music if it was done right and done in a way that you felt comfortable. And I think it's about finding that.
I mean, I'm not, that's what I mean. I'm not, I think none of us are dissing pop music as a general thing, but there's good and then there's bad. And it's quite difficult to write and produce a really good pop song. And so it's like, you don't want to just fall into a beige run-of-the-mill pop song because you need to produce some music. And I think that's more what we're getting at. It's like, it's not to say that if it was pop, that it wouldn't, that I wouldn't do it. It's more that it has to be really
good. Well, the leading edge pop stuff is amazing.
But the pop that they tried to get you into initially, that you, quote, tried, that's not this.
Do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head there, and I think, you know, Johnny was also trying to say it as well. Maybe pop gets used in the place of what I was trying to say, which is like being forced into some kind of trend following of what is popular at the time. It doesn't mean that I dislike it. It's more of discussing like a culture of where you might get pushed into things, or an industry practice, rather than the actual genre. Because it's not a genre, pop. Pop is like the cream of the crop of various genres, and sometimes it's also the worst part of various genres. But yeah, it is just popular. Maybe we need to find a better word.
Because I mean, Johnny, DMAs, when you were forming this band and you guys were doing what you were doing, like, you didn't sit there and go, well, I'm going to sit and think about how we're going to describe our music. You don't do that.
No, one thing we did do is we had some strong influences, but we had a big scene and a huge palette to be influenced by, you know, so
right.
We, you know, our favorite band was the Verve, you know, which had hugely popular songs, you know, in the 90s and stuff, but we also, you know, didn't shy away from our love of Oasis and Blur and the Jesus and Mary Chain. And, you know, I guess some people who don't know the Britpop scene that well only think of Oasis and Blur, but, you know, then your Happy Mondays and Primal Scream, and, you know, there was a lot we were kind of drawing off there. And there wasn't, we weren't thinking internationally either. You know, we were so young. We were just kind of living in the inner west in Sydney. And basically there was no bands in the inner west of Sydney and then really doing music like that. And then we kind of slowly found out that there wasn't really any bands in Australia kind of harnessing that sound. So I guess we found a little bit of a gap in that regard.
I think at the time there maybe wasn't even many bands in the UK harnessing that
yeah, true.
Sound.
Probably not. Probably not. The two of you met. You obviously had heard each other's music. How did you know you'd be working together, you know, musically?
Can I start this one, Johnny? It comes back to that trip that you were referring to, where I did that radio tour on my own of some of the Cynthia songs for the Jezebel's third record, because we cancelled that tour.
Right, I remember
Heather
that.
Was unwell, yeah. And I decided to learn guitar and go on my own in a car, which I wasn't supposed to be doing. Apparently I wasn't supposed to be on my own, so we were pretending I had a chaperone. But this is where I met you that time at, not met you, but we met again at the end of it at South by Southwest. That radio tour, I was given a DMA's CD by a radio station in Vermont. Jeff Morad?
But that's so funny. Good for, I'm going to let him know. When we roll this, I will do a little hat tip to him.
I told him that's once, actually.
That's so funny. He must have just loved that. Oh, my God. He's such a nice guy, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to it because I was on my own, and I was like, these guys are pretty good. Sound a bit like Oasis. No, I didn't say that.
Oh,
do you know who I think they actually sound like? And I would say that there's a little bit, like, not many people talk about the Australian New Zealand influence, is bands like artists like Paul Kelly and also Crowded House. I find that quite a clear line in DMAs, which no one really ever picks up on because they're always talking about the Britpop thing. But anyway, classic songwriting. But yeah, so I listened to DMAs and I knew the guys. I'd met them years ago. In fact, they're one of their first bands that Tommy and Johnny were in. We had supported the Jezebels on our first EP launch.
Yeah, I was the bass player. I was too scared to talk to the lead singer of the main act.
So apparently we didn't really properly meet, but we did meet. I knew who he was, but it was just like from the Sydney scene. And then when we went back, when I went back to Sydney a couple of years later, I think I was trying to get into find my solo sound. And this is when I was getting in these rooms with all these, for want of a better word, on-trend pop producers that were trying to make me sound like so-and-so because they were charting. And Johan, who runs IOU, which is DMA's record label and now my record label, was a friend and said, maybe you should get in the room with Johnny Took and do some stuff. And so he hadn't signed me at the time, obviously, but he was the kind of reason we... And then we just became friends. And
well, I remember... So we, when we were making our second record for Now, we have a mutual, we've got a friend called Paddy Coughlin, who is a publican in Sydney, and he had this pub called the Lady Hampshire in Camperdown. And basically he built a studio above this pub, and it's kind of where we tracked a lot of our second record. Anyway, I was doing some writing in that studio at the time, and Hayley was, I think, up doing sessions or doing something in Sydney, and she was staying in one of the other spare rooms in the pub, and I was meant to be doing a session with Mason that day, and
but he was asleep.
I think he was asleep. I think he had a big... I think he was out on a bender or something.
This is what Mason does.
Mason fell asleep. Mason snoozed.
He's quite sensible these days, Mason, but this was still, you know, this was us. You know, we're still getting pretty raucous back
just
then.
A little earlier.
Anyway,
yeah.
So I'm just walking around the pub, kind of the top of the pub, looking for something to do. And I run into Hayley, and we get chatting. She's like, you know, what are you doing today? And I was like, well, I meant to do a session with Mason, but he hasn't rocked up. And it's like, well, should we try a song? And I think that was the first time we kind of... We should find that song, actually.
Yeah, I think it was actually kind of crap now that I... It was one of my first songs that I'd written, you know, on my own, and it wasn't very good.
But that's where I guess our professional relationship started, and we became mates after that.
And just mates. Mates is so like friend and innocent and not filled with any naughty stuff.
Well, it wasn't. He means it literally. We were mates for a while, like only mates.
How do you know when it's a Hailey Mary song? The two of you are working together. You're doing things. Johnny might write a line. You might, you know, how do you know it's a Hailey Mary song? What's the filter? How do you know?
Well, probably at the start, like the majority of my songs I do start and come up with, and some of them, you know, there's different levels of Johnny's involvement.
Yeah, I reckon most of the songs are songs that Hayley's written by herself on the guitar. There's a couple which were different when you were living in the same house as my brother, and we wrote Ordinary Me together.
Yeah, like we'll be in the room together and like one of us is on the guitar and we'll write it together.
Yeah.
And then there's songs... But I mean, it is a good question, because then there's Diamond, which was an old Johnny Took song that kind of came later. Obviously, that's the more recent song where like we ended up making that one of my songs and adding some. And I think it's a lot to do with when it's not just coming from me, like it's if it suits me. So like if it suits my vocal range, because Johnny had that idea. He was like, I've got this song and I kind of want to. It's never gone anywhere with the band, and I just feel like it's going to sort of disappear, but I kind of feel like maybe it would suit you. Not all his songs suit me.
There right. is a kind of lucky thing right. where my register sits, normally where I naturally want to sing, fits really well with up an octave for Hayley.
That's cool.
I think even when I was trying to re-demo, because Diamond was originally a bluegrass song called The Moon, and but then I was re-demoing it and And as I was playing it, obviously not very fond of my voice, and I was like, this isn't doing it justice. And then Hayley started singing it, and it really came to life. And then she went on to add on the post-chorus and parts in the chorus as well, and gave it her own flavor. And that's, for me, that's the true gold that comes out of a collaboration and stuff like that and happens. And
I mean, that's a really huge point, that when we were talking about, like, is it about songs or is it about everything else? And maybe that kind of culture where you prioritize everything else, you go, what's the story behind this? What's the scoop behind this artist? What do they stand for? What's their, you know, big publicity thing? And it's like, it feels like very rare that people go, well, what's the song? What's going on in the song? Maybe I should listen to that rather than like writing what the press release says about the song. Why don't I listen to the song and think about it myself?
One thing I was thinking about, Hayley, which I wanted to talk about, is that I was just remembering. So we live in Melbourne now, Dennis, and over the last 3 or 4 years, I've been slowly wrapping my head around getting to elements of electronic production and incorporating that into DMAs. And for me as a producer going as in the future, I knew it was something I had to learn, you know. And anyway, while I was mucking around with one of those ideas, it was funny. It was only one simple chord progression. It wasn't even a song. Hayley was like, what are those chords? And she started writing a melody to it. And then I was still there mucking around with bloody kick drums and snares. And Hayley had just gone into our bedroom the next door and then came out maybe 40 minutes later, and she'd written the whole song. And it's this song called Sullen Kink. And it's a it's one of my favorite songs on the album. Sorry, EP. Mini album, if you will.
EP.
I don't want to put out a debut album too soon.
You know, and like, you know, like technic, and that's another thing is I love about working with Hayley is like, you know, I just didn't really write any of that song. It was just, you know, I came up with the energy and the emotion that started it, and then Hayley went in there and finished it, and it's just got such a great energy, and there's great lyrics in it, and it's called Sullen Kink, which is funny. Because when Hayley and I were living in Edinburgh, one of our favourite dishes is this Scottish soup called Cullen Skink. And I remember we were on a... Have you ever had a Cullen Skink before?
It's like a seafood chowder.
No, but my daughter is going to be spending her next year of college in the UK.
Tell it again.
And I already told her I'm coming out for the summer, and Edinburgh is definitely going to be spending some time.
All right, make sure you try and get a Cullen Skink.
Yep.
And it's a spoonerism.
Yeah, so it's spoonerism of Cullen Skink, which is Sullen Kink. And I remember we were at dinner and we would start talking about that. I think we each think that we came up with it, but it was probably Hayley.
Who came up with it?
Yeah. I think
well,
it was definitely.
Who knows? You might have accidentally said Sullen Kink because I would never mistakenly say it. But I like the idea that it's a sad twist, which I just, I don't know, something about it I love. It's really vague and sort of,
yeah.
It's not particularly catchy, but I just love that it's the kind of thing where if you pay attention to it, go, what does that even mean? And then you go, oh, well, it's sullen, which is quite somber, and a kink, which is a twist.
Right.
And I just love the phrase.
And the line is, you feel love with a sullen kink.
That's so great. So the last thing we're going to do, and this is going to be fun because now I get to cross-pollinate, because you've both done this, but you've done it separately a while ago. And you'll either remember or not, I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.